to the Bill Barnwell Show. I'm Bill Barnwell. ESPN, we are here on Thursday, February 21st, 2019. Football stuff to get to today. I had an idea. I think it's going to be good. I'm not sure yet. We'll see how it goes in an hour. I have a good guest to help me with it, though. So I figured, as someone who was very skeptical of the idea that Antonio Brown was going to get traded as recently as a couple weeks ago, it seems pretty clear that something is going to happen at this point. So, given that so far, so much of the discussion has been about whether the Steelers should even trade Brown in the first place, let's go in a different direction and let's go around the league with all 31 teams and see, hey, is there a deal that makes sense for Antonio Brown with each of the league's 31 teams? And joining me to talk about that, frequent contributor to the show, someone who has been writing about this for ESPN Plus, it's ESPN's Mike Sando. Mike, how are you?
Good to be here. We've got a lot of work to do.
We do. We have a lot of trades to make happen over the next hour. So then we should get started. Do you want to start? Let's start with the NFC. So here's our, we're going to split this up. I had Mike create trades for the NFC teams. I went through the trades for the AFC teams. We'll just alternate by division and go from there. So Mike, what are you thinking about Antonio Brown in the NFC East?
Okay, let's just start with the elephant in the room and go with the fact that, you know, Jay Glazer whispered about Odell Beckham being, wouldn't be surprised. He didn't report it, but it's the sort of, you just consider the source in these types of things. Jay Glazer has been around the Giants forever. He doesn't usually just throw stuff out there. He's pretty selective in the stories that he breaks and stuff. And this wasn't a story. Jay didn't report it. But, like, when you talk to people in the league about the fact that that he mentioned that, they, like, all think there's something to it. So let's just start there and say, okay, if you're the Giants and looking to trade Odell Beckham, you probably want a bunch of picks to address other areas on your team because you already have good skill position players, right? You have enough on offense at wide receiver, tight end, running back. But since we have to make it for Antonio Brown, I mean, to me, it's just, you have a post June 1 trade between the two players, and if you're the Giants, you want another pick back, some kind of a pick, because Odell's arguably better and definitely younger. So if you do it after June 1, you get, it's easier from a cap standpoint. Each guy leaving his team, there's a void there that can be filled. So that's the one I did there, and I don't know what, you know, what, whatever the pick is we want back, we could talk about it, but I think you want something more.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think it's a really fascinating idea. Just from the Giants' perspective, I mean, if they trade Odell Beckham, they do need another wideout for sure. You would figure they have Sterling Shepard, Evan Ingram, and tight end, but they do need more than that. But what I find really interesting is the idea that the Giants, who perhaps to some extent seem tired with Odell Beckham's antics, would then be trading for someone whose antics might be significantly worse.
Yes, and then we get into the whole thing of what do all these antics actually mean?
Right.
You know, I mean, if everybody filmed themselves running on the treadmill, but you don't have to worry about me doing that. But if we all spilled our innermost thoughts on a video, it wouldn't be pretty, you know?
Right,
so I don't know. I struggle with how much of that is truly relevant for them playing. I think there's a lot of players that require maintenance, you know, that we don't see in this light. And it's somewhat unique. Somewhat of a unique situation. So, but I think people will buy the idea that, you know, hey, Roethlisberger's part of this too, and maybe Tomlin kind of handled it better. Whatever. I think everyone realizes Antonio Brown, sixth round pick, who worked his way into being a really great player. He's a grinder in terms of his work ethic. So, you know, you are trading one set of issues for another, but guess what? Antonio Brown's part of the trade by definition of our exercise today, so he's part of the deal.
Right, of course. Can't have it without him. What about the rest of the NFC East? Any other fits that made sense for you there?
Okay. Philadelphia was interesting to me because they're an active trading team. They have two second-round picks. They also have Nelson Agholor entering the last year of his deal, so I thought you could, if you wanted to just do the draft pick thing and say, hey, we'll give you a second round pick and then we'll figure out how the cap thing works. You know, if we're the Eagles, I thought of that. And I thought if it's a player, maybe you give them a receiver back and it's Aguilar figuring, hey, we're going to lose something. You know, we may lose him anyway. So, that was interesting. I think they're a team that could do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the cap concerns are the only reason they would struggle with it. But again, like you said, Aguilar's cap hit is a little over $9 million. It's his 5th-year option. You might want to put that money elsewhere, but you know, they've been interested in plenty of wideouts. Over the past few years, they've went out and signed Alshon Jeffrey this offseason or this trade deadline. They traded for Golden Tate, reportedly made an offer for Robbie Anderson. I mean, they certainly, you know, are comfortable with short-term additions at wide receiver, and I mean, Antonio Brown would be a pretty good one.
Yeah, and Antonio Brown fits into that unexpected opportunity to get a really good player. If you're smart, you consider that. You know, you're open to that, and you figure it out. You figure out how to do it next. Mm-hmm. So they were interesting there.
Yep.
Washington, it's a little hard without a quarterback to not that you have to sell Antonio Brown, but you want to get the best out of Antonio Brown, right? Mm-hmm. So it may be hard to bring him there in their stage of the development. But I thought of a couple things. I thought, what about Josh Norman? Steelers need a corner.
Yeah.
Is he to a point? If you did it post June 1, some of these, if you go to the various trade calculators, I like over the cap to do the trade mm-hmm. calculators. You know, you go on there, you look at what it is for after June 1, and, you know, suddenly it becomes easier to do some of these deals for Pittsburgh and for the other teams. So,
right.
You know, that could be interesting, couldn't it? I mean, the mm-hmm. Redskins tried to get, you know, really upgrade the receiver game last offseason. Didn't really work out for them, but this would do it.
Yeah, I wonder if you send back Josh Doctson as part of that trade and just say, hey, here's a receiver you could take a flyer on if you're the Steelers, just have someone, you know, not that he's going to fill Antonio Brown's shoes, but hey, here's someone who was a first-round pick. You can give him a shot, you know, see if he's worth a role in your offense. There's not much risk given that he's still on his rookie contract. But yeah, and then, I mean, that leaves the Cowboys who, you know, when I wrote about this recently, I kind of thought to myself and said, even though they just traded a first-round pick for Amari Cooper, I would never put it past Jerry Jones in a million years to look at a star player on the trade market and say, we can make it work.
Yeah, wouldn't he love to take a good player away from the Steelers? I know that the Steelers and Cowboys haven't been the rivals recently that they were, you know, years and years ago. But I thought this was a tough one. You know, when you give up that one for Cooper, you're basically paying him. You're sort of committed to him. So do you want to give up, you know, unless you traded Amari Cooper, you know, unless you said, hey, look, we don't, you know, I don't know if the Steelers want to do that because then they got to pay the guy, right? I mean, but if the Steelers are just in such a pickle that they want to move this guy but you don't want to get bad at wide receiver. You want someone who really has to prove himself and earn that money, and that's mm-hmm. Amari Cooper. He comes in with Ben Roethlisberger in that offense and is even better than he was with certainly better than he was with Derek Carr mm-hmm. and definitely better than he was, even though he perked up late in the year, with Dak Prescott. Mm-hmm. You're trying to win a championship this year, and you get out of this pickle, like, you know, with Antonio Brown. And from a Cowboys standpoint, now you don't have to do a deal. You got a guy who signed for 3 years. He's in the Big D. His spotlight's going to be on him. Now you're still run-oriented offense. You know, the ball's going through Ezekiel Elliott. I don't know if that's going to make, you know, Antonio Brown really happy. But if we have to do a deal, that was one way I did it. I don't know if there were other players, you know, Malik Collins or Taco Charlton or other players that you'd consider, but to me, it's hard with Amari Cooper being there.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think even if you went and said, okay, let's get Amari Cooper and Antonio Brown on the same team, then I think you run into concerns about Amari Cooper maybe getting, or not, Antonio Brown getting enough touches to make him happy, which may be a concern with the Steelers this year, given how much Juju Smith-Schuster has been playing at a high level. In terms of the AFC East, there's not a lot of great fits here. The Dolphins, I mean, are we building? Maybe you have a three-way trade where Xavien Howard goes to the Steelers and the Dolphins get picks and then Antonio Brown goes to a third party. You know, could see that happen theoretically, but just it's a lot of moving parts. In the NFL, you don't see many trades like that. Bills need a wide receiver, but I don't think their timeline matches up. Maybe if you dangle Tre'Davious White, but I think I'd rather have Tre'Davious White than Antonio Brown at this point, no?
It depends where you're at in your development, but I think for them, you're probably, you know, they've been unloading players more than loading players.
Right, of course.
You load players, but you know what I mean. I mean, they had Sammy Watkins on their team and decided they didn't want him, so Now you're going to be giving up, you know, some kind of capital for a guy who's near the end of his productive window. I mean, he's probably got three more good years. And you're trying to get this quarterback off the ground who's now going to be under pressure. And the story every week is how many targets did Antonio Brown get, and we're just trying to win a game 17-14, you know?
Right. Exactly. Doesn't
yeah,
like
so I don't necessarily see that as great. They are an active front office, though, so I would, you know, I wouldn't just totally rule it out, but it doesn't seem to make a lot of great sense.
Yeah, that's true. The Jets, I think, are tough, even though they need a wide receiver, always want to make a splash. Just because they don't have a second round pick and their first round pick is the third overall selection. So I think I heard about this in the Domino's column. Unless they get absolutely totally desperate, they strike out on all their free agent targets and they have no weapons for Sam Darnold besides Quincy Enunwa and one more year of Robbie Anderson. Maybe they make that desperate move, but I just don't. Unless they offer their 2020 first round pick and the Steelers say yes to that, it's just tough to fit there.
Agreed. I also buy into the idea that, you know, Adam Gase was trying to suppress personalities more than bring them out, and you know, just didn't see, it doesn't seem consistent with what he wanted to do to build his team at the end in Miami. And I do agree, though, that I do feel like there is a make a splash factor for the Jets in that market that they may want to show to the fan base and others that they're exciting and doing exciting things. So I wouldn't rule it out. And of course they have the need. So I guess I don't rule them out quite as much as you do, but I totally agree with your logic behind ruling them out.
I think if they had a second round pick, I would totally see it. I would totally buy it, but they have to get a second round pick as part of this process. Yep. Maybe if they trade down from three with someone else and then they have that second round pick, you know, and maybe in the 35, 40 range, maybe they do it then, but I think it would be tough. The Patriots. I mean, I love the idea. From the Patriots side, I absolutely love the idea of saying, hey, we're going to trade the 32nd pick for Antonio Brown. This is going to be our way of moving on from Rob Gronkowski. You know, we're losing a star receiver. We're getting a star receiver at a slightly different position and a slightly different role, but he makes sense financially. You know, Belichick has taken chances on receivers who are extremely talented in the past. It has worked out okay for them. If I'm the Steelers, I don't know if I can do this and sleep at night and trade Antonio Brown to the Patriots.
Yeah, it's hard. I think the premium would have to be really high. They'd have to give you something. You know, they'd have to give you way more than anyone else is giving you. And even then, it's hard. So I agree. I think that's a tough one. I would love to see what it would look like to him playing with Tom Brady. You know, could Tom Brady have the type of, you know, season he had with Randy Moss, or is that not practical at his current age? I think they've shifted to be, you know, more of a balanced team by design, somewhat,
for sure.
But also because they don't have an Antonio Brown type player. So, it would be fascinating. It would just really be fun to see, but not if you're a Steelers fan.
That's the thing. The Steelers can't do that to themselves.
No.
What do you think about the NFC North?
I think it's very fascinating. So, to me, the hardest team to do a deal with there was Minnesota. I just felt like, you know, that's not what they're doing. I mean, are you going to give up Trey Waynes and a third round pick, or, you know, he could be released anyway? Are you going to trade Adam Thielen so you don't have to pay him and then fracture your locker room possibly, because it's just not the way you do things? So they were a tough one. I sort of put them off to the side. I initially didn't have Chicago in my list, and then it's funny, I got a lot of feedback from my Antonio Brown thing. And so one of my agent friends was like, put them in there. And then I ran it by a cap guy who was like, why not?
That's an interesting trade.
And I looked at it and I was like, Kyle Fuller has a $1 million base salary. It actually wouldn't be that hard. So Kyle Fuller was my guy to put on there, you know, as if it's Chicago, you're trying to get this deal done because, you know, from a Steelers standpoint, you could use corner help. And then, you know, you're just being aggressive offensively. Maybe you're going to make a move and maybe you're going to release somebody, but he would certainly spruce up the offense.
Yeah, and I think they can also maybe go with the Allen Robinson side of things if they want to trade a receiver and say, you know, Steelers, hey, Allen Robinson's still a good player. Injury issues, obviously, but you know, get another young receiver for the next couple of years, someone to build around before you have to pay Juju Smith-Schuster. Could see that side of it as well. Yep. Interesting fit there. It didn't occur to me at first glance, but makes sense. What about the other two teams?
Yeah. The other two, I think, you know, Green Bay makes the most sense. Yep. I'll go to Detroit first, just get them out of the way. I don't really know what makes sense for them. I'm not sure exactly how this is going, what they're doing. Would they could use a weapon. I mean, no doubt about it, they could use a weapon. What would you give up? Would you trade Darius Slay as opposed to paying him on a long-term deal? Would you trade a pick? I don't know if that's just right for them, but I also don't know for sure what they're doing. So I put him in the doesn't make a total logical sense to me, but I'm not ruling it out. Green Bay, on the other hand,
yeah,
I like it. Would you give the 30th pick in the draft for Antonio Brown?
I would.
Given where they're at as a team?
I would. I think I absolutely would. I think that fundamentally transforms that offense, and we don't know what their offensive scheme is going to look like under LaFleur. I'm not, you know, I think that obviously they are a team that probably has to do more on defense, but I think they have a major need at that second wideout spot. And I think that given that it's an extra first round pick from the Saints trade, given that you trust your organization to draft and develop well, I think that's a chance to get a difference maker. And I think suddenly you have Devontae Adams, you have Antonio Brown, and you have Aaron Rodgers. I mean, that's a really scary proposition for opposing defenses.
Yeah, and would you have so last year? I don't have the Packers draft totally memorized, but they traded with New Orleans. Did they end up getting the corner Alexander out of that pick? So could you sell it that you got Antonio Brown and Alexander the corner out of the pick you traded, or
I'm going to look it up as we talk about this.
Yeah, we'll look it up as we talk about it.
From a Green Bay
standpoint, you look pretty smart, right?
No, they traded. Yes, they traded down.
And then there was a trade with Seattle, right?
Yes, they traded down with Seattle. And then
there was another trade in there, but the net out of that draft was they moved down and got Alexander, who they think is a really good corner. And then they came away with a pick this year that could get him Antonio Brown. So it's not, you know, that's pretty good.
Yeah, you'll take that.
Yeah, that's pretty good. And you've got your own first-round pick, right?
Mm-hmm, they do.
This year, so. And you're trying to maximize everything right now with Aaron Rodgers, and you've got this young coach who's excited to run new plays, and why not give him just absolute ammunition, show everyone you're serious? Because guess what? The Bears in your division made the Khalil Mack move. Mm-hmm. They toppled you. And, of course, there were other factors, but they made a move that helped topple you.
Right.
What's your move?
Yeah,
you can't blame Ted Thompson for not making moves now anymore, right?
He's not there. He's not running things. I mean, it's the only concern, again, is just that, you know, do you get Antonio Brown enough targets with Devontae Adams there, who I think he was north of 160 last year. So, I mean, you're
111 catches
is a lot of catches. 169 targets last year, I think second in the league, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, that Jimmy Graham is there. He's going to get some targets as well. But I think that could be a solution that works for all parties involved. The AFC North is going to be a quick one because I don't think the Steelers have the weird thing about this is, let me say this. If you're the Pittsburgh Steelers and you think, hey, we have to trade Antonio Brown because he is bad for the locker room and he's bad for team chemistry and he's really upsetting us, wouldn't you want to trade him in the division then if you believe that in your heart? Because then he's going to disrupt the chemistry of the teams in your division.
Yeah, but it's a unique chemistry in Pittsburgh that makes it bad for him right now, and you don't just export that. He's obviously got issues with Ben Roethlisberger, unless you're trading Roethlisberger to those teams, which I wouldn't advise. you know what I mean? I think that you can get a fresh start places. I don't buy that Antonio Brown's a cancer. I believe the situation, for whatever reason, became untenable. You know, and Todd Haley leaving, was he a guy who sort of kept, you know, was able to sort of come down hard on Roethlisberger and it kept peace? I don't know. But something's gone off the rails there the last couple of years, and I don't think that just means it goes off the rails wherever he goes next.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think the specific, like you said, the specific sort of chemistry of the situation might be toxic. But given that, I don't think there's a lot of is that going to be a huge appetite for these Steelers to trade Antonio Brown in the division?
I think no, I agree. I think we can save time.
Yeah, I think it's impossible to imagine a Ravens trade, although that fascinates me to think about maybe the Ravens trade Jimmy Smith as part of a deal if they don't cut him. The Bengals, I mean, I can't imagine they even pick up the phone when they see a call from the Pittsburgh area code. Maybe they could package Tyler Boyd and a mid-round pick. Maybe that's the solution, but I don't think that's going to happen. And then the Browns, I mean, I love the idea of the Browns trading for Antonio Brown. I love the idea of Baker Mayfield and Antonio Brown together, but I think it would take a significant hole. I think it would take the 17th pick, and I don't think that's a great move for the Browns, given that they just spent so much money on Jarvis Landry.
Yep, no, I agree. I agree with you there.
Mm-hmm. So let's hit a break. We'll come back with the South and West divisions. More Antonio Brown discussion here on the Bill Barnwell Show in a moment. Welcome back to the Bill Barnwell Show. I'm Bill Barnwell of ESPN, still joined here by Mike Sando of ESPN. We are coming up with 31, close to 31, maybe not 30, maybe closer to 28, Antonio Brown trades when it comes to the future of the mercurial Steelers wide receiver. We've made it through the East and the North in both the AFC and the NFC. Mike, let's get to the NFC South, always a topsy-turvy division. Is there a good fit for Antonio Brown in the South for you?
I think it's harder. I think this is one of the harder divisions to find natural fits, even though it's not a rival division. You know, I feel like New Orleans, their cap issues are real. You know, I think that is a real impediment. I think most teams can move it around. I think they're in a little bit of a tougher spot. They only have one pick in the first four rounds.
So, wow.
Would they be giving up something, next year? Are they really going to trade, Eli Apple to help the corner situation? I don't know. They got to pay Michael Thomas in a couple years, right? Mm-hmm. In a year or two. That's a hard one for me, even though it'd be nice to have him in the offense.
Yeah, I think it's a tough fit. Again, maybe they've made all-in moves in the past. Maybe this is the one they do, but I think if they make an all-in move, it's somewhere else besides receiver.
Yep. I agree. Atlanta was very challenging for me because Julio Jones is there.
Right.
And what are we going to do? Trade them? You could. You could trade those two. And I guess if I'm the Falcons, I want more back than Antonio Brown.
Right.
But I feel like Julio Jones is better. I mean, just physically better.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they're both similarly productive. Would you do that, or would you look at somebody on your roster? I don't feel like the Falcons can give up defensive players.
No, certainly not.
Is Austin Hooper part of it if they were going to decide, he's going to be coming up for a contract? They don't really have a running back that you're going to trade. I don't know that you're going to do a sign and trade with somebody, Evan Coleman, who's coming up. I struggle with this one. So it was Julio Jones. It was Julio Jones for Brown and a pick.
Yeah.
Only because I had to come up with something.
Right.
Do you see anything that would be?
I mean, maybe if the Steelers love Calvin Ridley, and you say, hey, we're going to give you Calvin Ridley and a third round pick or fourth round pick for Antonio Brown, you could.
Yeah.
I mean, theoretically, but if you're the Falcons, then you're committing $13 million to Antonio Brown. You're theoretically going to give Julio Jones a new contract this year, where he's going to make something in the $17 million per year range. Are you confident about your defense to the extent that you're willing to give $30 million a year to two wide receivers, even if they are incredibly talented? Just doesn't strike me as likely.
You could have like $65 million of your cap in Matt Ryan and two receivers.
Yeah. I mean, that's a big ask.
So that's not happening. And then every game we're checking the stat book in the locker room to see if which one of those guys didn't get his touches. And then, hey, why does Antonio Brown have 8 red zone touchdowns and Julio Jones has 1 since 2009, or whatever it is.
That's inevitable,
that's
sadly.
A tough dynamic. So
yeah,
I would move on from them.
One.
I would say Tampa Bay, probably not. They've got Mike Evans. I don't think you need more. You could theoretically do let's say DeSean Jackson may be out of there anyway. He's got 1 year left on his deal for $10 million. If you traded DeSean Jackson and a third for Antonio Brown and a sixth, or would you consider Gerald McCoy as part of a deal who's known to kind of be maybe available? It's just you're still then complicating things for your young quarterback, Jameis Winston, who already has to keep a bunch of guys happy. You've drafted O.J. Howard. You've got Cameron Brate, who could be available. I mean, maybe he's part of a deal. You've got, you've got obviously Mike Evans. I think you're muddying the situation there. What do you think?
Yeah, me too. I mean, maybe it's Chris Godwin and somebody in a pick. Maybe you want to trade that young receiver. The Steelers want that young receiver as part of a deal. But I just don't see, if they're going to spend money, you have the worst defense in football, or one of the three worst defenses in football. That's where you're going to spend money in 2019. It's not going to be a receiver. It's maybe the one place where you're happy with your roster right now.
Yep. As far as Carolina, I didn't have them really in my thinking. Maybe I should have. I believe I looked at all NFL teams, the average age of your starters for, running back, wide receiver and tight end last year, and obviously Greg Olsen was hurt a lot of the year, so they were like the youngest. They really had a nice young core. I think they were really doing well in the new Norv Turner offense when Cam Newton was healthy, and then when he wasn't, it went off the rails. So I don't really see them as needing that. They drafted DJ Moore last year. I think they have a good setup. If you were going to do it, what would you give up? Would you give him Torrey Smith and a third? Would you, is there some other draft pick you've taken recently who is on a cheap deal that you don't like? I don't know. They have a lot of work to do to get younger on defense and some other areas. So I think they need the picks.
Yeah, I mean, I think you look at DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel and say, hey, do we want to trade one of these guys? And I don't know that you do, especially DJ Moore, who looks like he could be a viable number one receiver. Looked impressive second half, or when Cam Newton was healthy, not in the second half, but just in general as a rookie. So I don't think there's a great fit anywhere in that division. I would say maybe Carolina would be the one. Maybe Tampa does have Bruce Arians, which could help, but I don't know that they really would. They have crossed paths.
He did
paths
not overlap. Was he there with Antonio Brown?
It might have been like the very beginning of Antonio Brown.
Maybe
career.
1 year. Yeah. The other thing on Carolina, their owner has Pittsburgh roots, right? Pittsburgh ties. So, those are the types of things you try to connect dots and stuff. You wonder about, is that good or bad? Does he have an opinion on Brown? I would think you got some young pieces on that offense. Do you want to bring in somebody who's now your new leader, your highest paid guy, and make, is he going to complain about Cam if they run the ball a lot that week? I don't know. It seems a little risky.
Yeah, I agree. He had 2 years with Arians, beginning of his career. But, yeah, I don't think that makes great sense to me. AFC South, Houston Texans, DeAndre Hopkins is there. Again, they have issues elsewhere on the roster. They need offensive line help. It would be fun to watch DeAndre Hopkins and Antonio Brown in the same offense. But, again, I think you're running into touch issues where – you're going to get the ball frequently enough. Maybe they trade Will Fuller as part of a deal, but I think that they have $13 million. They want to put it towards the offensive line. Jaguars, again, I just think, look at their roster, cap issues there. I don't think Tom Coughlin would want to add someone like Antonio Brown. I could be wrong, certainly. Maybe if they don't want to sign Jalen Ramsey, you would figure this could be a way where maybe they get Antonio Brown and a pick for Jalen Ramsey, but I think they're going to end up signing Jalen Ramsey. I don't know what you think.
I think he's too good to let go. So, I'm with you. I'm with you on that.
Other two teams could make sense. Indianapolis Colts, I think, are a great fit. Robert Mays, my former colleague, wrote about this for The Ringer today. Thinks there's a great fit with the Colts. We already have T.Y. Hilton, granted, but Hilton has some injury issues. The Colts throw the ball as much as anybody in football. Do you think Antonio Brown makes sense for the Colts? And would you trade the 26th pick for Antonio Brown?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think Antonio Brown and T.Y. Hilton are buddies. I don't think you'd have initially a big problem there. I just don't see that's the way that Chris Ballard's going about building the team. I think they've had such great success in the draft. They've been in on players, but really at certain prices and values. You bring in Antonio Brown, and even though you didn't do the deal, he's suddenly at $17 million a year. So what do other guys get? Which to me was a factor in Houston. He would suddenly come in at $17 million a year. He's above Hopkins. He's above J.J. Watt. Those types of things on a team I think about when you bring them in. I think Chris Ballard would do it if the price were just really too good to pass up, but I don't think they see themselves necessarily the way everyone else does. Lots of cap space, let's do stuff. They haven't let cap space really dictate how they're building it.
Yeah, and they do have, they have 26, but they have 34 from the Jets. They have their own second rounder at 59. I mean, you know, if it's the Steelers come to you and say 26, maybe no. Would you do it for 59?
Yeah, yes, maybe. Maybe I would. I really want to have that conversation with them and say, hey, look, we got a special thing going here that's mm-hmm. bigger than your concerns about a contract or anything else. I think they've got a really nice thing going. They've done everything kind of the right way, and it's worked out. So when you start making that risk and bringing in someone who, whether it's Ben Roethlisberger's fault or not, you know, it hasn't gone well.
Mm-hmm.
And the Steelers are sort of a, you know, for most people in the league, they're sort of the model organization that you try to do things like, right? I mean, they're one of them. So if it doesn't work there, I think they'll be careful. I think Indy will be careful. They don't need to make that type of move. They've got Deion Kane coming back, who's a sixth-round pick last year, who they love, mm-hmm. who's looking great. Tore his ACL in the preseason. So he's had a whole year. You know, he will have had a whole year. I think they hold out some hopes for him. They do have mm-hmm. needed receiver. They'll address it. I just don't know if that. And also from a Steeler perspective, that's the team in the AFC that could be contending for the championship. You know, how different are they from New England in your eyes if you're in the AFC?
Yeah, that's a very fair point. Tennessee, I think, is interesting. Don't know if it happens necessarily, but they have Corey Davis, who they're happy with if they're, you know, former first round pick, who's you would assume would continue to get better in 2019. After that, that receiving core is not especially impressive. And you have, in a strange way, an excess of cornerbacks. You have Adoree Jackson, former first-round pick. You have Malcolm Butler, who struggled in his first year. I don't think he's going anywhere for cap reasons. But then you have Logan Ryan, who I believe, if I'm not mistaken, is in the final year of his contract. So could you maybe package Logan Ryan as part of a deal to the Steelers and hope that, you know, you sort of kickstart Marcus Mariota by adding a number one receiver to go with Davis?
I kind of like that. That's a good idea. I hadn't thought of that. I'm on board with that. I also feel like, hey, Delanie Walker's coming back off a really tough injury and is mm-hmm. older. You know, how much more are you going to get from him? He's been a great producer, but beyond Corey Davis, who, you know, hasn't been a consistently great performer every year, he's flashed. What do you got? I feel like they could use help. That's not a bad fit. They've got to try to keep pace in a division where Houston's loaded, you know, pretty talented, and Indy's getting there.
Yeah, absolutely. Makes total sense to me that you would say that. All right, Mike, let's get to the Western divisions here in a moment. But first, I want to talk about our pals at ZipRecruiter. And hey, we're talking about Antonio Brown. He's going to get traded. The Steelers are going to need to add another wide receiver to play with Juju Smith-Schuster. And they might want to use the draft. They might want to use their development processes that have worked for decades. I say maybe head in a different direction. Maybe consider using ZipRecruiter, because ZipRecruiter is a place that you should go to when you want to hire people for jobs, whether it's something in the NFL, whether it's something outside of the NFL. ZipRecruiter sends your jobs to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. And if you go to ZipRecruiter.com/Barnwell, you're going to find out that you can find qualified candidates immediately. It's not going to take you too long. You're not going to have to wait for weeks. Not going to waste your cap space. If you end up trading in Antonio Brown, you're going to get qualified candidates showing up in your inbox within a day or two, because ZipRecruiter, that's what they want. They want you to get qualified candidates for your job, so you keep going back and using ZipRecruiter. 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. And right now, as I mentioned, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Barnwell, my last name. ZipRecruiter.com/Barnwell, B-A-R-N-W-E-L-L. ZipRecruiter.com/Barnwell. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Now back to the show. What about the NFC West? This is your last division. Do you find fits for Antonio Brown in the NFC?
This is fun. This is fun stuff. Okay. I love this division for Antonio Brown because the ideas. Let's just start with Arizona. Okay. Two ideas. One of them, what if you send Josh Rosen to the Steelers? Get Brown and a draft pick or something, right? And the Steelers are looking long term. And your coach is on the record. He loves Kyler Murray.
It's true.
We're going to go into this season with Kyler Murray, Larry Fitzgerald, Antonio Brown, David Johnson. Buy tickets Arizona fan? are you calling to get season tickets, or are you calling the radio station to tell them on Sports Talk how dumb they are? What are you doing?
You're excited. At the very least, you're intrigued by that opportunity, right?
Yeah. I thought that was a fun fantasy football move. Mm-hmm. Beat writers in Arizona rolling their eyes, saying, don't say that, Sanders. Don't do a story on it. I don't want to have to react to it. But, that was kind of fun. If you really do love Kyler Murray in Arizona, like their coach does, and you're not that excited about Rosen, that would be one. My other scenario was, do you consider doing something with Patrick Peterson?
It's really interesting. You
know, he talked about his future. He's really great. I mean, he's been like Pro Bowl every year. I think he's sure. performed well almost every year, and he's not 30 yet. You could say he may have five more really great years, so mm-hmm. that's hard to give up on. He's got 2 years left on his deal, though. If you want to build this thing offensively, is there a way you would send Patrick Peterson for Antonio Brown? And I would want more back if I'm right. Arizona. I need picks, maybe.
Yeah, I think I'd ask for Artie Burns back, and I would say let's try and rebuild Artie Burns as a corner, because you know we're going to be pretty bereft at corner. Even though they signed Robert Alford, he was pretty bad last year. I think they really need to, you know, yeah. they'd have to go out and get some more cornerback help. He's just a phenomenal
Joe
football
Hayden
player.
Maybe could he be part of it? You know, I don't know.
Yeah, that's it could be a really big trade. I mean, you can get a lot of people involved with you. That's a great fit, I think, in a lot of ways, and a couple of different ways they could go about it. So yeah, it really fascinates me. I don't think the first overall pick would be involved, of course, but
no,
I mean, no. Don't need the first nope, overall no. pick to make that deal work. That's a really few interesting no, possibilities nope. there. What about the rest of the division?
That's a fun one. Well, the Rams to me are very interesting because I think they're just open to getting good players. There's a great onion on the Rams. It was like, will the Rams approach convince more teams to try to get as many good players as they can? It was a great headline. I was like totally laughing. It's kind of nerdy, but it was funny. And that's what they do. You know, they're open minded. They had Aaron Donald. They're like, yeah, we'll take Ndamukong Suh, you know? Yeah, just another good player. I mean, they play the same position, but just because we have Donald doesn't mean we're not going to do that. So, you know, I don't think they're going to get another starting running back or starting quarterback, but you could certainly do another receiver on top of Brandon Cooks, and you're waiting for Cooper Kupp to come back. Would you trade a third-round pick for him? They've got two third-round comps coming. Mm-hmm. That's a possibility. Have you decided that you want to have Marcus Peters? Would you include him in anything? Mm-hmm. You know, are you going to pay him? He's got a $9 million salary, becomes fully guaranteed next month. Gerald Everett, would you trade him, you know, and get a pick back? Or, you know, Gerald Everett and a pick to get him? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, those were just some of the dynamics there. I thought there were a lot of ways you could make it make sense.
Yeah, it'd be fascinating. I mean, that would be another all-in move for the Rams. I think they'd have to trade at least one of the wide. I think they would have to trade Robert Woods or Sammy Watkins as part of a trade. I just think it's tough to make it make total sense. Oh, not Sammy Watkins, excuse me. Cooks. Oh, yeah,
if they could trade him again, that would be the greatest move ever. No,
that'd be impressive. So yeah, sorry, Brandon Cooks or Robert Woods, and maybe they could trade Woods. I think he's obviously really valuable. At his current contract status, still only has $6.1 million cap hit. Great blocking receiver. But, I mean, you know, Antonio Brown is a different level of receiver from Robert Woods, and I think Robert Woods is someone who surprised me and been a very underrated player, but that's, it'd be impressive. I mean, and stranger things have happened, certainly, than the Rams making that sort of move. We still have two more teams in that division.
There are. So Seattle, you know, on the surface, you would think not. You know, they paid Tyler Lockett, they have Doug Baldwin, who's, mm-hmm. you know, somewhat pricey, and they like to run the ball a lot, and they, don't have a lot of picks this year. You know, they've sort of been a team that's traded away picks. So right. I didn't really have them in the mix. And then somebody from a team that I respect a lot says, you know, I showed him kind of my list before I published it. He's like, hey, don't forget Seattle now. I was like, huh? You know, he goes, yeah. You know, it could be a pick next year. Could be anything. But they're just sort of open for business. Mm-hmm. You know, opportunity, kind of like, you know, when we talk about the Rams or some of the Eagles, teams that just sort of, hey, if an opportunity is there, why not? Can we get way better at this position? So I would not rule them out, but I don't know exactly what the package would be. Can you think of one for them?
That's a good question. And I absolutely agree with you in that they've been creative in the past. I mean, who saw them trading for Percy Harvin when they traded for Percy Harvin or trading for Jimmy Graham when they traded for Jimmy Graham, right?
Yeah, so I'm just trying to think. Is there maybe
you send a 2020 first rounder, or maybe it's you know, maybe you trade down and they have their own first this year, so maybe you they have the 21st pick. Maybe you swap 21 for 52.
Yeah, I like the idea of Seattle still coming out with picks. So if like if they did their first, you know, do you get Brown in a fourth? Or you know what I mean? Just something because in their minds they're thinking, hey, we get Cam Chancellor, we get Richard Sherman. You know, we pick up some of these guys without picking them at the top of the draft.
Yeah,
maybe just having the pick itself is good for them. So we're not ruling them out. I think it's fascinating. They've done these types of moves before, even though I think they've kind of gone into a youth movement and. You know, having the chemistry right with a young group that grows together, they've been in the past at least been open to it.
Yeah, maybe they trade Baldwin as part of a deal. Stranger things have happened.
Yeah. Yep.
That leaves, I believe, the San Francisco 49ers.
Ooh, and they are interesting. So
yeah.
To me, the 49ers still need picks. What would you include Solomon Thomas in anything?
Mm.
I mean, to me. People talk about him being a 3-4 fit, you know, not a great fit there. Would you do him for Brown and a pick?
That's interesting. I mean, he has not been, he hasn't been the sort of like breakout star they would have hoped. I think he's a valuable player and still obviously very young, but I would be very intrigued. I feel like at the very least I would talk about it.
Yes. Now that's a hard thing to admit that, you know, he was their first pick, I believe, with Lynch. With John Lynch as the GM.
Yep.
That's a hard one, you know, and they've been kind of sticking with him. But I think the writing's on the wall that he's not a dynamic game wrecker in their scheme. And there's a lot of people, a lot of football people, you know, who've said that he would be better, you know, kind of maybe standing up in a 3-4 type base. So, you know, that was one that came to mind to me. I didn't really like them giving up picks necessarily, but if you could find the right player, maybe.
Yeah.
And is there a corner on their team? You know, they've got
Richard Sherman.
Something. Yeah, they got
Quan Williams.
Witherspoon, right?
Yeah, I mean Witherspoon has been okay. I mean, he really struggled for a bit last year. I think that would be more of like, hey, we're going to take a chance on a guy versus here, you know, we have a guy who's going to be a starter for us this year.
Yeah.
Witherspoon. So it's worth a shot. I think he has some value as part of a trade and maybe it saves you a pick, but I think they've been pretty good at finding wide receiver help. Pierre Garçon hasn't worked out, but I mean, I think Dante Pettis looks exciting. Injuries are going to be an issue there. Marquise Goodwin really didn't really find his sort of role last year, but was great for them, which I mean Garoppolo in 2017. And they have George Kittle, who you figure is going to get a ton of targets just because might be one of the three or four best tight ends in football. And we know Kyle Shanahan is going to throw the football to his backs a fair amount too. So I could see the fit. But I think the defense is the problem there, not the offense.
Yep. Me too. I'm with you, but it would be exciting for Kyle Shanahan. I think he's one of the few guys who's a real big difference maker as a caller and play and coordinator. So they would make great use of him for sure.
Absolutely.
I think AFC West is interesting too. What do you got?
Yeah, in a different way. I feel like NFC West is more plausible, I think, in a lot of ways. But I think there's some interesting fits in the AFC West. The Chiefs, I mean, hey, you have Patrick Mahomes. He's cheap for a couple more years. I don't think you make this trade unless you're trading Sammy Watkins back. But I think he would be an upgrade. And they like Sammy Watkins as that sort of deep receiver. But I mean, I have a lot of faith Andy Reid could find a way to make Antonio Brown, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce work on that offense. I don't think that would be something I'd be concerned about.
Absolutely. I think they could actually keep Watkins, although where's the ball going to go? I think from a cap standpoint, I think they could figure it out. But I agree with you that at a certain point, you want some definition in your offense of who's doing what and is there enough football to go around. So he would be very interesting for them because they, you know, that's definitely open that you talked about, but they have some decisions looming too. Like, how much do you want to pay Tyreek Hill?
Right.
And how's his contract situation going to go? when you've paid Sammy Watkins. This would be bringing in another guy whose APY is higher than it is for Watkins. He would go to the top of that heap. Maybe you'd be buying yourself some insurance. So you'd have a 3-year window, and maybe you come to an agreement, hey, we'll revisit your deal after the first year. Let's go win a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. The first year of it's effectively guaranteed anyway. They're not going to cut them, you know?
Yeah.
So it would be exciting. It would be great. But if I'm Pittsburgh, so if I'm not going to trade him to New England, am I going to trade him to the team that had almost beat New England in the AFC Championship game and is probably almost an equal favorite for the Super Bowl this year?
Yeah, a team that beat us quite comfortably during the regular season as well.
Yeah, that's a team you got to beat. So we should also look and see who's on their schedule this year, who's on the Steelers' schedule.
That's true, yeah. I don't think they want to face they don't want to face Antonio Brown week one. You would figure that out. I don't think they would play the Chiefs. I'm not sure, because they played the Chiefs as their divisional, or as the first place team last year. Let's see if I can level this up.
The Chiefs scored 627 points last year. Is this a typo on my screen?
627 seems like a lot. It might have been, was it 527? No, it was 565.
565. Why is this on there then?
That's a great question. Steelers play the AFC East, so another reason not to trade him to the Patriots. They play the AFC North, of course. They get the Chargers, who we'll get to in a second. They got the Colts, we talked about, who made sense as a trade candidate, maybe less likely because they play the Colts. Then they play the NFC West. So the Rams and the Seahawks. Imagine Antonio Brown coming to Pittsburgh as a member of the Rams next year. I think that would be on primetime television, if I had to guess.
I think they'd find a way for that one, for sure.
So that's interesting. That opens up some other possibilities. The Chargers, I think Philip Rivers would be very excited to have another Keenan Allen. I think that's the closest guy to me in terms of fit with Antonio Brown, in terms of what they do really well. Both incredible route runners, guys who just seem to get open over and over and over again. Don't know that they need him necessarily. They're losing Tyrell Williams this offseason. Maybe you think about trading Mike Williams. It was a former top 10 pick as part of a trade, but I don't, different sort of skill sets. And I think to me, again, if they're going to spend money, I think it's probably in other positions.
Yeah, so you and your listeners can help me on this, but I believe the Chargers, when I looked at it, I think they were the only team in the league that didn't make a trade last year. So
really?
If anyone has evidence of the trade they made last year, let me know what it was, because I couldn't find one just looking through. It's not like the league puts out a formal trade list that's airtight, so we're sort of piecing these things together, like from ESPN Stats and Information Group gives us something, other people track it. But if you can find a Chargers trade last year, let me know what it was. But I think the idea is they haven't been one of those teams that's extremely active in acquiring players that way. So, maybe that diminishes.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think they're pretty happy with what they have there. I think they're going to try and run it back with the same sort of core next year. Other two teams I think are much more plausible. The Broncos, I think there's a really interesting fit here with Chris Harris, who is in the final year of his deal, regarded as a bargain at cornerback, coming off of an injury, to be fair, but someone who is, I would say, in a similar role, at a similar level of cornerback play as Antonio Brown has been at wide receiver over the past few years. A absolute number one, can play inside or outside cornerback. Would the Broncos trade him for Antonio Brown? I mean, they need help at receiver. They're down to, Deshaun Hamilton. They don't have much at tight end. Cortland Sutton is going to be there at receiver. They have Philip Lindsay, who looked great last year, but Philip Lindsay's coming off of an injury as well. Might not be ready for the early part of the season at 100%. Wouldn't shock me. I think if you don't think you're going to re-sign Chris Harris, suddenly that opportunity looks pretty tantalizing if you're John Elway.
It may if you're John Elway, it may not if you're Vic Fangio. So I think that's an interesting thing to consider as they, go with the new head coach with who's going to really want to have that defense going.
For sure.
Just off the top, I feel like Antonio Brown's worth more than Chris Harris.
Really?
Because he is healthy and he's 6 straight years of over 1,200 yards receiving, and I looked it up. It was 6 straight years of 1,250 or higher. It's been done once in the history of the league by Torrey Holt with The Greatest Show on Turf years. So, with Chris Harris coming off the injury, I feel like that's a little bit of a damper on the return. Now, I don't know is he going to be fine? Maybe he's going to be fine. But I like the idea. I feel like one way or the other, whether Harris was involved or not, that's the type of move Denver would consider making. Mm-hmm. I think they would see they would see Antonio Brown, even though he's not the prototypical number one receiver for size, which I mm-hmm. think is important to John Elway. I think that's yes. the type of thing, the parameters he likes. I think that Brown transcends it enough
right.
through his production and other aspects of his game that they would value him. I think that is a good fit.
Yeah, I think at this point, you know, he's proven that he can, you know, it's kind of like a Russell Wilson thing where you don't have to worry about him being short. He's proven he can do it over and over again at this point. And that finishes with a team that I think is a very bad fit in some ways and a very good fit in other ways in the location to be determined Raiders for the 2019 yeah. season where, I mean, you know, this is a team that has a reputation as just getting rid of anything that's not nailed down. And they have three first-round picks. I don't know if they would send a first-round pick in a trade. I don't know that Antonio Brown would really help the Raiders. But you are trying to make your team look more appealing to your fans. You are moving to Las Vegas, presumably, for the 2020 season. Hopefully, in your case, for the 2020 season. Antonio Brown gives them a star that maybe they don't have right now.
Yep, Odell Beckham would too, so I'm interested in what they do going into that year. I think it's important for them to have some excitement going. I think John Gruden is a former wide receivers coach.
Yep.
You know, he came in with Sterling Sharp, who was going to be a Hall of Fame receiver till he got hurt. You know, he's been with guys over the years, Keyshawn Johnson, he's been mm-hmm. with, you know, he's been with Tim Brown. He acquired Jordy Nelson. You know, he loves the veteran players, so I think he would see Antonio Brown if he could have a conversation with him, talk to him, make sure in his mind, you know, his head's right and mm-hmm. he's ready to do this, that he could definitely be in that mode. Even though it doesn't fit getting rid of other players, I don't think all those other moves to get rid of guys was necessarily part of a coherent plan to get mm-hmm. rid of all those guys. It just sort of happened.
that's strangely, strangely generous and strangely insulting at the same time somehow.
Yes. Yeah. However you took that to mean is exactly how I intended it.
It's very fair. So, I mean, in terms, I agree with you. And I think that, you know, that at some point, even as you're evaluating Derek Carr or whoever your next quarterback is going to be, you're going to need receiver help. I mean, they have nothing at receiver right now. It's Marcel Atman. It's Jordy Nelson. Jared Cook is a free agent. I mean, they need weapons for whoever their quarterback is just to get a reasonable evaluation of said quarterback. So, I mean, I wouldn't want to trade the Amari Cooper pick. I wouldn't want to trade a first-rounder. But if you start getting into the second-round picks, they have – they're at 35. I mean, is that too high? I don't know. I mean, I at least think they're going to have a conversation about it.
Yeah. They don't feel like the team to me, though, that is, hey, we are Antonio Brown away.
So right.
You know what? We're going to pay a premium here. Bring this guy in. It's going to make a real tangible difference in our season, our outlook. We go from being – in the AFC Championship game to maybe doubling our chances of getting to the Super Bowl. That's
right,
not it at
sure.
all. I mean, does he make them, is he part of, do they feel like next year they need to get to 9 wins? Because he could be part of that.
Mm-hmm. Maybe, yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's their, like, hey, we have to sell tickets in Las Vegas. We have to be, you know, at least looking like we're on the right track going into Vegas.
Or they, maybe they, you know, is John Gruden enough to sell tickets there? I don't know. Not, maybe not if you're having two really bad years and getting worse. So mm-hmm. I think he's definitely one you got to think about for them.
Yeah. So, I mean, given that we've talked about 31 teams, is there a team that stands out to you as a team that makes the most sense or a couple teams that stand out as make the most yeah. sense to you?
Yeah. So for me, Green Bay, definitely. Mm-hmm. I think you and I both agree.
Yeah,
Green Bay absolutely. Was an interesting team. They have the draft capital. They have the quarterback to maximize. They have the new offensive coach who's, you know, looking to build some excitement and mm-hmm. Everything just sort of lines up. I think they're already a good team. You know, they could get the most out of them. So mm-hmm. I think they're number one on my list of intriguing teams.
Yeah. I think Green Bay is number one for me as well. I would say maybe if I'm picking an AFC team, I would say maybe Tennessee, maybe Denver are in that range for me. I think you made a good point about the Colts in terms of how they're building. I see the on-field fit there. Maybe the off-field fit is not there. But, I mean, I think there's options in both conferences in terms of what, you know, people who would be interested. I think there's going to be a legitimate market for Antonio Brown if the Steelers decide they really do want to go through with this.
Yep, agreed with you. It's a fascinating deal, Bill. This whole thing is interesting that a player may be able to force the Steelers to trade him. That's amazing.
Yeah, and really? In a situation where, like we talked about, the cap situation for it, I mean, the Steelers save no money, basically, in this year by trading Antonio Brown. It's almost unprecedented in terms of a team eating this much dead money.
Though, you do. If you wait and trade it after June 1, they get a lot of relief. So some of those scenarios had that, but that's a hard one to do because then everyone's drafted, rosters are full, everyone thinks they're good then.
Yeah, and you're just eating more money next year, and then, you know, you haven't had the opportunity, unless you're cutting him as a post June 1st release, which I don't think they're going to do. They've said they aren't going to do. Then you don't really have an opportunity to spend that money. You might have a guy like a Joe Hayden sneak through as a late cut and then sign him, but I mean, it's tricky to pull this off in a way that makes the Steelers a better team in 2019.
Yep. Agreed.
So we will have to wait and see what happens. But Mike, I appreciate running through these teams with you. Always a person who I want to read when it comes to trade opportunities. And you're going to be covering this and other stuff for ESPN, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right, ESPN Plus. You can find me at Sando ESPN on Twitter, and I'll be heading to the Combine next week, and I'm probably going to see you there, I guess.
I hope so. I hope I see you there, Mike. But thanks so much for coming on.
Okay, we'll see you.
All right, thanks so much to my guest again, ESPN's Mike Sando. Highly recommend you check him out on ESPN Plus, which, of course, I am contractually obligated to say you should subscribe to. But even if I was not contractually obligated, I would say it. I was someone who subscribed to it. Even if I was not an ESPN employee, highly recommended you check it out. Great print content. Great video content. So I watched the FA Cup last week because of ESPN Plus. Really enjoyed it. So we have more audio coming next week. Again, we're going to have about one show a week during the offseason. Maybe I'll have a second show if some news breaks, but we'll be at the Combine next week. So hopefully have some stuff for you from Indy. Thanks so much for listening, and more coming next week.